Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL Podcast, Tuesday edition, covering the Eastern Conference, or what was the Eastern Conference, at least enough of it, the East Division and the North Division. Sometimes it's hard to keep track. Like, we don't cover the Blue Jackets anymore, but we've been over this. It's beautiful here in Buffalo. And Mike, you're pretty, 20 minutes north of me, 30 minutes north of me?
Oh, yeah. It's really nice. Well, actually, today is a slightly overcast in Niagara, but the past few days has been just gorgeous.
Yes. It really makes me, feel like playoff hockey is right around the corner, but it's not. We've got months to go. We still have a month to go until the trade deadline.
Yeah, kind of wild, eh? It's like usually we'd be all done. The deadline is usually done like late February, early March. And now the teams are what they are and they're going on their final stretch. But yet here we are in a COVID pandemic year that didn't start until January 13th. And had to push the deadline all the way to April 12th. And now we're still sitting here discussing and talking about what's going to happen at the deadline. And it's March 23rd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. How by the way, are things going on COVID-wise up in Canada? I know there's been slow but some increase in the amount of vaccinations that are going on up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not being rolled out quite as effectively as it's being rolled out in the States. And the shutdowns and lockdowns are still, quite heavy, pretty much just as heavy as they always were. But the numbers actually, they seem to be going down. But then as things started to get to restrictions started to ease, numbers kind of started to go back up a little bit in Ontario. Yep. I don't know what's going to end up happening. Some people are calling for a third lockdown, but I don't want that. I don't think that it's actually going to come because I think the vaccinations are pretty close to being doled out here. Not nearly as much as in America, where I think it was by May 1st.
Yeah.
They're hoping that they can start getting anybody vaccinated who wants to be. And sports leagues are already getting vaccinated. Didn't the Rangers come out and they've been vaccinated? The Dallas Stars announced that they're getting vaccinated. And it's pretty widely available now within the States, and especially for sports teams down there.
Yeah, it is. April 1st. Everyone that's over the age of 50 will be eligible to get it. Like, some people through their jobs, or my girlfriend has already had the vaccine because of, through her job. I have not because, sports radio and podcasting, not quite considered essential to the society, I guess. But right, like you said, by May 1st, everyone should have it down here, at least have it available to them. The reason also I ask, on top of that, is you mentioned to me right before we got going that Edmonton and Montreal from Monday night got postponed, and that's the first COVID postponement in the North Division all season. Yeah. And I'm thinking back maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, there was a story floating around here in Buffalo that maybe the Leafs end up playing the playoffs here in Buffalo, either at KeyBank Center or at Harbor Center, because it seems like the way the border is shut down, and like you're saying, if there is even talk of a third shutdown in Canada, then whoever comes out of that North Division might have to come play in the United States once they get to the semis.
Yeah, it's very true. They could end up having to go play there. We'll see what ends up happening. Obviously, up here in Canada, I'm crossing my fingers that that isn't the case and we don't go back into a lockdown. And by June, July, when the Stanley Cup final happens, if the Leafs happen to make it that far, things will be kind of eased. You know, the vaccinations will be in full force at that point and things can go back to some sort of relative of what normal was before all this happened. And they can at least play in their own building and maybe even had some limited capacity and fans in the stands. Who knows? I think that fan part might be just a little bit rich, but if that's the case, that may end up actually being another issue as to why they'll want to bring things down south of the border to a place like Buffalo, where now, you guys, for the first time this weekend, allowed fans in the stands in New York. So that could very well be a possibility.
Well, I'll say something on that in a second, just for all our listeners, just so you know. Mid-season award show today. We're going to go through the Hart, Norris, Vezina, Calder. Maybe we won't spend too much time on the Calder. That might be the easiest one. And then we'll get to some other new stuff today on the podcast. You just said how like the Sabres were supposed to have fans back in the building starting last Saturday.
They didn't.
Against the Boston Bruins. No, they didn't, because the Bruins had four players placed on the COVID list, and the NHL postponed that game. So, listen, I mean, imagine being a Sabres fan where you're so upset about the team. You're like, they're the worst team in hockey. They're on a 14-game losing streak. But it's like, you know what? I want to support the club. I'm going to be one of the 1,800 people that's going to be in the building. I'm going to make the effort to do that. I'm going to get the test. And by the way, the test through the partnership the Sabres have costs $64. So that goes on top of a minimum of $50 that you're spending on a ticket. So everyone that was going to those games was spending a minimum of $100.
Wow.
And the game got postponed. And because the test was through a separate company and it happened like the day before, everyone had gotten their tests and they're non-refundable. So,
wow.
Doesn't that mean that's it's brutal for Sabres fans?
I bet there were some calls made to WGR to voice their frustrations. I can only imagine.
The Sabres are making good on that. They're giving everyone a free ticket to next season. So they're at least doing something, but still, it's not fun around here.
They're still on a 14-game losing streak then.
Yeah, they are.
They lost last night to Washington.
It would have been 13 going into that Boston game on Saturday with fans. They didn't play. They lost last night to the Rangers. So yeah, it's at 14. 16 points, and it's March 23rd. it's pretty crazy. In fact, one of our news items is kind of related to the Sabres, so we'll just get that out of the way. I don't like to spend too much time on them because I have my own podcast on the Sabres. But we have to mention the thing that TVA's Renaud Lavoie said yesterday. It's kind of a Jack Eichel trade rumor that if the Sabres were to move him, they would want four pieces that are either first round picks or players that were first round picks. And I don't think guys like Sam Bennett would qualify. Probably his meaning here is like, you know, like Patrick Marleau is not going to count because he was a first round pick 20 years ago. Like, it's got to be valuable guys. I instead of talking from the Buffalo perspective like we normally do here, what if you're the Kings or you are the Rangers? Is that a good idea to be spending those assets for Jack Eichel, especially those two teams? Because they're mentioned the most and they're not really that great. Like, they're fine, and Eichel would probably push them to being a playoff team, but I don't think those are teams that are even a Jack Eichel away from Stanley Cup contention.
Well, let's first take a look at the Rangers, and let's see. They want what? Four? They said four first round pieces, whether that's picks or the.
Yes.
So, yep. Technically, Ryan Strome was a first-round pick. He's 27. He's got a couple years left on his deal. Perhaps he could be thrown into the trade. So there's one first-round pick. They could toss them two first-round picks in general. And then another first-round prospect was Buchnevich, a first-rounder.
Maybe Kako?
Maybe Kako, although I feel like they would rather not lose him. I mean, they could also try and just go for a goaltender and get a guy who's playing like a first rounder, and maybe they would be interested in a guy like Alex Georgiev or something like that. I doubt they would move on Shesterkin, so I think Georgiev would be the guy who they'd be looking to move. Also, by the way, your assistant coach, Dan Girardi, is still being paid $1.11 million
really?
By the New York Rangers.
That's amazing.
The next 3 years because of the buyout.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's funny. Just, you know, just to throw some salt on the wounds there. But yeah, like, I think that they definitely could come up with pieces. I don't know if that's enough, though. Like, is Buffalo going to accept something like that? Like, Ryan Strome, is he someone that the Sabres can really build around? Probably not. But if there's anything that we know about Buffalo, is that they just make trades just to make trades. They may not make a whole lot of sense. Let's go ahead and think about the man who went on to win not only Stanley Cup, but also the Conn Smythe Award the following season. He left Buffalo. And what do you guys have for that again?
Nothing.
Thompson?
Like, he's, oh my god, I'd shoot, fire him into the moon.
Exactly. I mean, that's my point. Like, nothing for him. But new management, I get it. So I guess, you know, we gotta wait and see what Kevin Adams does with him there. But yeah, there's definitely a couple of teams out there that I guess may be able to come up with that type of price tag. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up folding out after that.
Mm-hmm. And then from the Kings' perspective, the thing that I read about them, Craig Custance at The Athletic did a couple of mock trades, and then he sent them to executives in the league. And the one that he sent to about the Eichel and the LA Kings, it included Quentin Byfield, Alex Turcotte, Kempe, I think, and then two first round picks. And the executive's comment was, "This is what it would take to get him right now."
Really?
And he also said he could see the Kings making that move because they are I think the word he used was desperate to win in the final years of Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty. I don't need to focus too much on that specific package, because I also agree, like, with the sounds you're making, that even for Eichel, I would think is too much. I would want Byfield in that trade if they're moving him at all, but you're getting their second best prospect too in that deal. But anyways, if the Kings make that trade, like, what are you trying to get out of Kopitar? Kopitar is playing great this year, but Doughty is not the same player that he's always been. I don't think if they add Jack Eichel, they're suddenly the Stanley Cup contender. So maybe they're better for this than the Rangers. I think, you know, of course they should chase Jack Eichel if he's available, but I don't think the Kings are that one player away.
I don't know, man. I think if they can add a guy like Jack Eichel, like, it totally changes the landscape of this team. Like, they've got some decent pieces. Like, Alex Iafallo is going to be a UFA, but I think they like him and will try and re-sign him if they don't move him at the deadline. Adrian Kempe is having a pretty good season. Looks like he's a decent little piece, just 24 years old. He's fitting in pretty well. They've still got Gabe Vilardi, if that's the deal they end up making, just 21. He's still a solid player. Jared Anderson Dolan is having a pretty a good season since he's gotten called up and getting a run here. And they've got some other decent players like Arthur Kaliev, Rasmus Kupari. They traded for Elias Anderson, like Samuel Fajemo, Akil Tom. I can go on and on. They have a lot of up-and-coming young talent. And a couple of young defensemen as well. So
if I could just throw this in, Cal Peterson has completely stabilized their goaltender situation, and he's only 26 years old too.
Yeah, and I think that he's absolutely fantastic goaltender. Like, he's definitely their guy going forward. I don't know what they're going to do with Jonathan Quick. He's got $5.8 million over the next 3 years. That might be tough contract to move at 35 years old, but I think definitely the LA Kings have built themselves pretty well. Like, Robitaille and Rob Blake have done a good job rebuilding this Kings franchise and getting them back into like a contention mode for the future. Obviously not right now. There's a lot of young 19, 20, 21 year olds who need to grow into their NHL careers before I think they get there. And I think adding a piece like Eichel would kind of just rapidly move them closer to that and would fit with the timeline before Kopitar and Doughty really fall off and are almost ready to hang it up.
Yeah. All right. I could respect that. It would depend how much they're giving back to. I think if that Custance deal, that depletes their growing prospect pool, which is one of the best in hockey. Yeah. All right. Enough on Eichel. One other news item to get to. Pierre LeBrun reported this morning that the league has approved changes to the NHL draft lottery. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. So teams will not be able to win the lottery twice within 5 years. There's a bunch of other rules to it as well. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't remember if this goes into place, though, this season.
I think it was 2022 or 2023 even.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not for this year. Gotcha. No. All right, so there's that, and then we'll take a quick timeout here, and when we come back, we'll get into some mid-season awards. We're actually just over the midway point of the year for almost every team. There are a couple teams that are at 28 games, Boston is one, Dallas. But we'll do our mid-season awards when we come back here on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano.
RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. Mike DiStefano at Mickey underscore Canuck. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. They have been primarily focusing on the NCAA tournament. Is that big up north of the border?
Oh, of course. And that's, okay, cool. That's big everywhere. We got some big time Canadians too doing some magic down there. So a lot of people like to follow the Canadians, like the select Canadians that are like doing exceptionally well. So, you know, it's not as much team watching as it is player watching when it comes to March Madness up here in Canada. You do got your hardcore college basketball fans who have the programs that they root for. But a majority of Canadians, I think, just watch it for the good basketball, root for the underdogs, hope for, you know,
for your brackets,
the random oral team to come through and bust up brackets. So, on top of watching all the Canadians, that's kind of what people really enjoy about March Madness here up in Canada.
Yeah, I just root for my bracket. That's literally it at this point.
Oral Roberts, baby.
Oral Roberts. Unbelievable. All right, well, let's get to the NHL midseason awards portion of our show. We'll go through the Hart, the Norris, the Calder, the Vezina, the Jack Adams, and maybe if we have time, we'll get to the Rocket Richard as well. We've got favorites from our friends at betonline.ag. We have a whole list of odds, actually, that were just put up in the last couple of days. And we'll start with the big one. We'll start with the Hart Trophy. The favorite to win it is Connor McDavid at minus 225. Patrick Kane is in second at plus 400. Austin Matthews, a close third at plus 450. And then there's a big drop off before you get to anybody else. So it seems to be, at least in the betting community, a three-horse race. That's also what I was thinking in my mind, that it's probably one of those three. And I would personally go with Connor McDavid right now. It's always going to be hard for me to get me off of McDavid, because I believe for a couple of years now that he is the best player in hockey, and I'll show my bias. I've been watching him since he was 16 years old, and I think the guy who's the best in the sport should often get it. And I think it's all coming together. They're going to make the playoffs. He is staying healthy. He's leading the league in points. So I would go McDavid.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree with you. What McDavid is doing right now is absolutely disgusting. He's got 60 points. The next best is his teammate at 50. And then after that, Patrick Kane at 42. So he's got 18 points more than somebody who's not in an Oilers uniform. And he's just running away with it. Now, you mentioned that most teams are at the halfway point in their seasons, which you're kind of forgetting. And I don't blame you, because you're down the States. But most of the Canadian teams, like, there haven't been canceled games, where I feel like every team in the U.S. has.
Right.
So everyone up in Canada is already up to, like, up over 30 games. Vancouver's played 36 games themselves. So, you know, a lot of these teams have played a lot of games already. So Edmonton does have a bunch in hand on some of these guys, like looking at Chicago, 32 games. Actually, Chicago hasn't missed that many, because Edmonton's only up two games on him. But regardless, I still think that McDavid is the foregone conclusion, runaway. I will say this, and it was interesting, something transpired last night. Bo Horvat, I heard news actually came down that it's a fractured ankle, which is really unfortunate for the Vancouver Canucks, who are actually playing excellent hockey, making a push. But it was really just Thatcher Demko standing on his head each and every day. If you haven't been fantasy, I mean, he's winning you week after week. But I would have honestly like sprinkled a little bit of change on Demko because of the way that he was playing. And if the Canucks ended up making the playoffs after their start, then I thought that he would have been a really good candidate for the Hart Memorial as the most valuable player. Because that's what it is, right? The Hart is the most valuable player. It's not the best player. That goes to the Ted Lindsay, the most valuable player. And I thought Demko could have been that. But now you think about, can they do much? Pettersson's been out for a couple weeks now, mm-hmm. and now you got Bo Horvat, who's going to miss extended time with a fractured ankle. I doubt that team scrapes their way back into the race and into the playoffs now with the injury bug hitting there. So Demko no longer makes it on my list. Therefore, I'm all in on Connor McDavid.
Yep. All right, let's go. Speaking of Thatcher Demko and the goaltender position, we'll go to Vezina next. And the favorite for the Vezina at plus 100, it's plus money. So it's a much closer race than the Hart. Andre Vasilevsky at plus 100. Marc-Andre Fleury at plus 300. I was dead wrong about him this season. I thought he was done as a starting goaltender in the NHL, thinking back to his last two seasons, more so last year, and how Robin Leonard took that net over. But Fleury has been unbelievable this year, and he's deserving of being in the race, I think. Philip Grubauer, third at plus 400. Semyon Varlamov at plus 700. And then Connor Hellebuck at plus 1,000. It's really, you can make a case for any of these guys. You know what? If Ilya Sorokin wasn't also playing amazing and on an 8-game win streak, I might want to make a case for Varlamov. But yeah, it's tough to make a case for him when the backup's doing almost just as good, if not as good. So I don't know. I hate to just go with the favorite here, but I might just pick Vasilevsky.
I mean, you want to be a contrarian and try and make an argument for somebody else. The guy has 3 losses on the year. 24 starts. He's only lost 3 games in regulation. Yeah. He's got 1 overtime loss as well. But 3 losses in 24 starts for a goaltender. He's got a .933 save percentage, a .186 goals against, few shutouts, and he's playing for one of the top teams, if not the top team, in the NHL. Like, it's really not much of a contest for the Vezina Trophy, to be quite honest with you. A couple guys, like if Vasilevsky gets injured, then I would say the guys who I'd be looking at would be Marc-Andre Fleury. Connor Hellebuck out in Winnipeg would be another guy who's been playing really well as of late. I think it's a disgrace here that Thatcher Demko's not on this list.
Yeah,
he's been playing lately. There should be the field option. If you're going to, you know, cap it out at Yaroslav Halak, you got to at least have the field be below that. We're going to have to send a message over to BetOnline.ag and either get a field put in there or toss in Thatcher Demko, because to me, Demko belongs way up on this list ahead of guys like Reimer, Peterson, Driedger, definitely ahead of Shesterkin, Halak. Shoot, I probably put him ahead of Frederik Andersen, who's, we may or may not get to this, but potentially lost his starting role here in Toronto. So no, I don't look at him as a top 10 Vezina Trophy winner. So, Vasilevsky, 100%, he's the favorite, and it would take an injury for him to lose that award. So if you're a betting man, you can get plus money on him. Go ahead, make that bet. They're giving you money. They're just giving you free money.
Demko, by the way, this was true about a week ago, I think, when I saw this stat, so forgive me if it's still not true, but he had faced the most quality scoring chances in the NHL, and it like wasn't even close between him and second place. And he's got a well above average save percentage, both at 5-on-5 and overall. So I agree. Like, Halak, he's played 12 games. Come on.
Are you familiar with the statistic, like goalie point share?
I'm familiar with it, but I don't know a ton about it. So yes.
So like it's similar to baseball's WAR, right? Yeah. Like wins. So it's a percentage of point share that the goaltender's play contributes to the team's overall points. So Vasilevsky leads the league with 5.9 points to his team's win share.
Wow.
Thatcher Demko is second at 5.8 points towards his team win share. But if you look at it as a percentage, Demko leads the league in percentage of win share for his team. It's incredible.
Wow. If you were at Bet Online and you were making these odds, where would you slot him in?
The issue with him is he started out as like kind of the backup out in Vancouver, not even backup, but like in a tandem scenario with Braden Holtby. And he only recently, like as of a month ago, really took hold of the starting job and got a big run here where he went on a massive run where he won like 8 of 9 starts, a .950 save percentage. And he was just phenomenal. A couple of shutouts in there. Lost last night, unfortunately, which kind of put a poo-poo on the statistics on him. But if I were going to slot him in here, I would probably toss him behind Hellebuck, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think behind Hellebuck.
Okay.
Seems like a pretty good spot.
So around between plus 1,000 and plus 1,400?
Yeah, like plus 1,200.
Yeah, I like that. That'd be right above Sorokin and then Vitek Vanacek,
who I both think are actually too high on the list, if you ask me. They're not even the starting goaltenders. How are they going to invest in that?
I did want to work this in, and I guess we'll do it now before we take a quick time out again, because this guy's listed. I wanted to get your thoughts that you had on Locked On Leafs, I think last night or maybe this morning, about the goalie situation in Toronto. Frederik Andersen is listed here at plus 2,500. And I saw you talking about Jack Campbell, and a lot of Leafs fans have been talking about Jack Campbell maybe deserving of being the number one.
Deserving of being the number one, like anointing him, this is our starter going forward. No, I don't like that. Do I want to give Jack Campbell a run at the net and give him the opportunity to prove that he can be this team's number one? Yes. Is there a difference between those two? Yes, there is, fundamentally. I truly believe that there is a difference. But Frederik Andersen has not played well. You know, people are questioning if he's healthy. He did get injured a few weeks back, and, you know, he's had an injury history, and he just hasn't looked right since he got back a few weeks ago from that injury that he suffered about a month or so ago now. And yeah, I think that he's lost the net for a little bit, and Jack Campbell should get a run here in Toronto. We'll see if they end up doing it. They haven't come out and said who's going to be the starting goaltender on Thursday. So we'll see what happens, but I'm totally in favor of Campbell getting an opportunity to show the team that he can be a number one. Because, you know, I guess I went more in detail into it in Locked On Leafs. So if you are curious about this topic, you can go check out the Locked On Leafs. But, you know, this is a guy who's played fairly well in his small sample size in the NHL. He's just never had an opportunity to show out as a number one. Give him that opportunity, since you have him under contract at $1.65 million next season. If you give him that opportunity, he shows you, hey, guys, I actually can be an NHLer. I'm just a late bloomer, and I can be a number one. Give him the opportunity to prove it to you, because you got Andersen as a UFA this upcoming offseason. Instead of going and splurging to bring in another guy, maybe Campbell, the guy in your own backyard, is that dude. Give him the chance to show you that he is or isn't, but you got to at least give him the opportunity to show and display himself.
Yep. Again, check out more on that at Locked On Leafs. All right, when we come back on the Locked On NHL podcast, we'll run through the rest of the awards, the Jack Adams and the Norris we have yet to get to. So we'll do that when we come back with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano.
Football may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports actions. Bet online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Little embarrassed to say it, I am watching this season of The Bachelor. Lines on a show like that, I'm actually intrigued by for the first time in my life. And BetOnline is where you want to be looking for that. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED On. We have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now it's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is between coconut brownie chunk and lemon almond cheesecake. I am not a coconut guy, and coconut brownie chunk is my favorite flavor. So that should really tell you how good it is, because, again, not a coconut guy in any way, but I love it. It almost tastes like marshmallowy, like a mallow cup, if I compare it to anything that's a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com or to @Built_bar on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano. Get the upper hand in your fantasy league with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long, dynasty, and DFS leagues. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's go through a couple awards that there are heavy favorites for. We'll get to the Norris and Jack Adams in just a minute. But first, the Art Ross, just get that out of the way. Connor McDavid is a huge favorite at minus 500 to lead the league in points. Mike mentioned it last segment. He has a 10-point lead over second. His teammate Leon Draisaitl with McDavid has 60. And then Patrick Kane, Mitch Marner are the next closest at 42 and 40. So he's probably, unless something crazy happens like an injury, he's going to win the Art Ross. The Calder, Kirill Kaprizov, is a huge favorite as well over Tim Stützle and Ilya Sorokin. Either one of those awards you think in play at all? Maybe the Calder more so, but I still think it's Kaprizov's.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. McDavid's running away with it, barring, you know, like you said, an injury, obviously. But he's going to win the Art Ross. And same thing with Kaprizov. The way that he's playing right now, I think there's no way that anyone can catch up to him. Like, Sorokin's not going to steal the crease from Varlamov and kind of go on a massive run here like Binnington did. So I don't see him doing it. Lankanen's come down to earth a little bit. Yes, Stützle, yes, he's playing well, but, you know, he's not putting up anywhere near the numbers that that Kaprizov is. So, yep. No, I think that it's those two are pretty much locked up.
Kaprizov, by the way, I saw a comment he made to ESPN last week. The Wild asked him before the season if they wanted him to bring in a Russian teammate so he would feel more comfortable. And basically his response was, that'd be cool, but I only want him if he's good because I just want to win. Like, he gave a very, like, professional, mature, like, the type of comment you'd hear from, like, 32-year-old NHLer that's been around for a while.
I mean, he is 24, right? So,
right, he is, I guess, a little more.
Which has people up in arms, the fact that he's even eligible for the Calder, and the people think that it should go to Stützle because he's only 18. And how dare a 24-year-old rookie who's played 6 years of pro hockey come in and be able to do it. But, I mean, hate to break it to you, Tim Stützle also played pro hockey last season in Europe. So, you know, he's also not a first-year pro. And that's the funny part that people seem to be forgetting when they talk about how Kaprizov has played pro. I get it. 6 years compared to one, it is a difference. But, you know, if you're going to make the argument that the Calder should go to your first pro season of hockey, Stützle also would not be eligible, people.
Right. That's a great point. I don't think I've heard that mentioned. I'll even bring up, you know, times from the past where, like, Jimmy Howard he came in second in the Calder like 10 years ago when he was like 27 years old or something like that.
Panarin
won it at 24, right? Or maybe even older than that. He might have been 25 or 26.
I think he's 24 against 24. David. Yeah,
okay, gotcha. But right, like, Stützle, that's a great point. Like, he's played professional hockey too. All right, so we'll move on from the Calder. Let's go to the Norris Trophy, which is next. Victor Hedman is the favorite at minus 140. Cale Makar, who's been missing some time with injury, is in second at plus 450. Charlie McAvoy, third at plus 500. These are all, again, courtesy of betonline.ag. I'll let you go first on this one, because I actually have a guy I like for this that's not listed. I don't think he's going to win it, but I want to just throw him in the mix. But I do think Hedman probably will win it. And I guess if I were a voter right now, he would be my first place vote.
Yeah, definitely. I think Hedman, to me, Hedman's just as much the lock as, like, any other defenseman, to be honest with you. To me, I look at Hedman, and the guy is just by far and away the best defenseman in the league, not only in his own zone, but also, like, as an offensive threat at any moment. So, yeah, to me, I think Hedman is certainly the guy. He's leading the league in points, got 32 points. Let me see if there's anyone else down the list, though, that I like. To me, somebody who actually, like, if Hedman gets hurt, right? I think this is where you got to think about sprinkling a little more change on people outside of just the favorite. Because as we saw happen the other day in the NBA, right? LeBron James goes down, the betting favorite to win the MVP. Now, odds are he's not going to win the MVP. He's going to miss way too much time.
Yeah.
And other guys are going to go out and they're going to win. So,
Jokic is the favorite now, I think.
Probably, yeah. And at the time, like before the injury, he was, I think, like plus 300 or something like that to win MVP. So, you know, you make those little sprinkles, kind of assume or hope, not hoping, because you never want to hope for an injury, but you know, you make those little sprinkles down the board a little bit in case of an injury, kind of hedging your bet a little bit, so you don't hit your wagon to one guy. And somebody who I would be doing it for just in case an injury occurred would be Jeff Petrie of the Montreal Canadiens. Like, this guy's having an unbelievable year. He's got 27 points in 31 games, which is like an on pace on an 82 game average for 71 points, 29 goals. And the guy's playing phenomenal hockey right now. So Jeff Petrie is one of those guys to me, who's a little bit down the list at plus 800 odds at BetOnline. He's someone who I'd be sniffing around a little bit, put a little sprinkle on him right now. Maybe even a guy like Darnell Nurse, who's playing fantastic out in Edmonton. 25 points on the year, 21 of the 25 points coming at 5-on-5, too, which leads all NHL defensemen at points on 5-on-5. So he's having an unbelievable year out in Edmonton at plus 1,200. He'd be a little sprinkle action on him as well.
And then the other guy I just want to throw in as an honorable mention, he would not be my pick, but out in Colorado, while Cale Makar's been out, Sam Girard, this actually is something I read about a week or two ago from Ryan Lambert, making the case that Girard has actually been one of the best defensemen in hockey this year. He's got the best 5-on-5 numbers for this season, and since Makar's gone out, he's been asked to be their number one defenseman. He's playing the most minutes. He's playing over 23 minutes a night. His offensive production is through the roof since Makar has gone out. He's basically been producing at the same clip that Makar was before he got hurt. Now, again, I would not give him my first place vote, but I'm seeing Makar here at like plus 450. And I think he's worthy of that because of the level of player he is. But Girard's been doing kind of the same thing since he's been out. And I've been watching them for like the last week since I read that from Lambert, and you could see it. I mean, he's just got complete command of the puck, and he's just a phenomenal passer. And some of the liabilities you would think are in his game because he's a small defenseman at only 5'10", 170. I don't see them a ton. Like, I don't see him getting bullied in his own end. Like, he's not Victor Hedman, but I think he holds his own back there. So I would throw an honorable mention his way.
He's a good player. He really is a solid player. And I think they got them back in the Matt Duchene deal, which turned out to be fantastic for that team, setting them up. Allowed them to get, I think Cale Makar was a pick that they were able to get with that trade.
Yeah, they won that trade big time.
No, 100%. Girard coming over. So, he's been a terrific player. Again, I don't know if he's really Norris caliber if he'll end up on the ballot, but certainly someone who deserves some love and probably deserves to be here over some. He probably deserves to be here over Cale Makar, who's plus 450, second place. But the guy's only played 18 games. I mean,
yeah.
16 I think some points in those 18 games, but like, is that enough for him to win the trophy? Probably not.
No, I agree. And like, I think part of the thinking there is he'll come back and he'll become the number one defenseman again when he returns, and that, you know, maybe if he plays out of his mind that he could get in the race. But
I think he's back now. I think he got back.
Did he just? Okay.
Yeah.
But. Okay. Gotcha. All right, and then finally, on the Locked On NHL podcast today, let's get to the Jack Adams Award. We don't have odds for the Jack Adams Award from BetOnline. I know who I would put my vote in for right now, and it's a man I've been doubting, a man's team I've been doubting for a long time, and I'd have to go with Barry Trotz is my pick. They are first place in the East. First place in the East Division over Washington and Pittsburgh right now with 46 points. They're actually scoring more than they have been in the past 2 years. Their possession numbers are up compared to the last 2 years. They look more like a real top team than they have in the past. I don't know if that holds, but I think Trotz is just the way he's had them playing that way, and the message has yet to get stale. I want to give props to that, because that's the type of system and the type of way of play that guys can get tired of, and I don't see any signs of that happening in New York.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a great option. They went on a run of where they won 9 in a row, which was incredible But another team who went on a massive run, who I think deserves some consideration here, is Rod Brind'Amour out in Carolina. Like, this team's playing phenomenal right now. They're in second place in the league based on points percentage, third place, sorry, in the league based on points percentage, 0.726 win percentage. So, you know, I think Carolina is a fantastic club. The way that they're coached, it really seems to not matter who's in net, whether it's Mrazek, who's been injured, obviously. But early in the year, I think he still technically has a sub-1 goals against and like a top-of-the-line save percentage. But Alex Nedeljkovic come up from the minors. He's been a real solid player for them. And even James Reimer, who a lot of Toronto people will know all about James Reimer. And, you know, he's played really well in the starts that he's been given there too. So, and most of that isn't because they're all-star quality goaltenders. It's because of the way that they're playing in front of him and the structure that Rod Brind'Amour has instilled on this team and the buy-in that the team has made. And that's all due to good coaching. So I think Rod Brind'Amour is somebody who definitely could end up winning this trophy or ending up on the ballot at the very least. The other guy, I guess, would be Joel Quenneville.
Yes, I was going to bring him up.
Right? Yep. Like, who expected Florida to be a top-tier team at one point? They were number one in the league. Number one in the league at one point. I was not – I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs, let alone be the top team. They dropped off a little bit. Not dropped off. Just other teams have just kind of stormed ahead of them more so. They were still playing really good hockey. They've won 7 of the last 10 and currently sitting sixth place in the entire NHL right now. But I think Joel Quenneville, he's a guy too.
And he's really not getting goaltending. Like, Dreger's been really good, but Bobrovsky's not really bounced back. So the fact that he's getting results while having, I think they're about league average save percentage right now. Even more credit to them.
In terms of goals allowed, let's see.
They're like middle of the pack, I think.
Yeah, middle of the pack. Yeah, they got 88 goals allowed on the year, which is about middle of the pack.
Yep. And then one other thing, you mentioned Brind'Amour. I kept seeing his name on odds list for to be the next Sabres head coach. And I'm like, why is that? I know Kevin Adams, their GM, played with him. But I was reading about it. Apparently, Brind'Amour his contract's up, and he is the lowest paid coach in hockey at $600,000 per year. For comparison, Ralph Kruger, who the Sabres just fired, made $3.7 million per year. So Brind'Amour, way underpaid. And I would imagine him being a legend in that organization and the owner being, you know, one of the richer owners, I think, in the league, if I remember correctly, I would imagine something gets done there.
Probably.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Again, we mentioned earlier, check out the Locked On Leafs podcast. Mike's got good stuff there on the goaltending situation. And I'm going to be taking a stab at the expansion draft at Locked On Sabres in the next day, because we're basically clicking into off-season mode.
Oh, man, that's so sad. You had
I had a 9-month off-season.
Off-season month, and you had like 1 month where you could talk about good hockey. And then it's like, all right, we're done.
I've had a lot of practice, to say the least. All right, well, me and Mike will be back next Tuesday. I'll be back on the Locked On NHL podcast with Tom Gazzola on Friday. Until then, thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you then here on the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.